a.m. right here on this stage, and I'm going to ask at the conclusion of our presser that our media colleagues here turn around and go straight back this way between the stage and the chairs. And there's another riser back there so that you can get the stage and the arc in the background for the ribbon cutting and the program. We just ask that in the spirit of this event that you go two by two across. And we'll just do that movement. We're going to have a hard stop at 10:45. Our format this morning for the press conference, we will begin with a brief statement by my friend and colleague Ken Ham, who's the president, CEO, and founder of Answers in Genesis, an apologetics, Bible-affirming ministry, and he's responsible for this project, the original visionary, and also for the Creation Museum, which is just down the road, very popular high-tech museum that in the last 9 years has had more than 2.7 million visitors. Immediately following Ken's statement, we're going to take your questions from the media. I just ask that you flag one of my two colleagues with microphones here on this side and over here, and just ask your question for the PA, and please state your name and affiliation. And Ken may introduce other colleagues, experts, and people responsible for execution of various aspects of this project. All of them, for you media representatives, are available for interviews on the ARC at pre-assigned times. If you'll check in at media check-in to get your slots, they'll be located throughout the ARC throughout the day. Once we open up at noon, and you're welcome to join the others going on the ARC right after the conclusion of our program. Also, when you check in, media representatives, you've got a digital press kit, and that's got footage, drone footage, construction footage, and press information. And we just ask that you turn in your press pass in exchange for a commemorative physical press kit that has all the information in it as well. And it's biblical. Forgive us our press passes. I don't know the verse of that, but we'll just turn in your press pass. We'll give you one of these as you leave the facility. And now, ladies and gentlemen, will you join me in welcoming Ken Ham, President, CEO, and founder of Answers in Genesis.
Well, thank you for all being here today. This really is an historic occasion. I believe it's an historic event in Christendom. The Bible tells us that Noah was to build an ark 350 cubits by 50 cubits by 30 cubits. Using a 20.4-inch cubit, that turns out to be 510 feet long, 85 feet wide, 51 feet high, 1.5 times the length of a football field, half the width of a football field, from ground level to rooftop, because it's built 15 feet above the ground, it's 7 stories. From ground level to the top of the bow is 10 stories. Inside, it's filled with world-class exhibits, the attention to detail. I believe as you look at them, you'll say, this is beyond Hollywood. And it really is. It's the largest timber frame structure in the world. Real timber, heavy timbers that you'll see in there. The post and beam construction. Built like a loaf of bread with series of slices that are bent. 100 Amish craftsmen. The craftsmanship is astounding as you look at it. Actually, I would say the ark is an exhibit. The timber frame structure itself, as you go inside, is an exhibit. And then all of the exhibits that you see in various bays and other places are world class. So it's exhibits within an exhibit within an exhibit. And beyond Hollywood. And people say, what are you really making? People say, what are you really doing here? What statement are you making? Well, you know, in a world that we see becoming very secularized before our very eyes, it's really time for Christians to do something of this size, of this quality, that competes with the Disneys and the Universal, to give a message to the world, representing the message of God's word to the world. We could take some questions.
Yeah. Take your questions. How many? What's your expectation as far
Okay, I'll repeat the question. Expectation in regard to number of visitors. We had America's Research Group conduct two general population studies in America, one in 2008, one in 2015. The one in 2015, as a result of that, even increased the original prediction, and the research was done in more detail. And so they're predicting a minimum of 1.4 million up to 2.2 million people a year. We really believe it's going to be more in the 2 million mark, and so does the head of the research group. But that was only a population study done in America. People are going to come from all over the world. I believe this is going to be one of the greatest Christian outreaches of this era of history. It's going to forever change Williamstown, and we're going to see 2 million people, I believe, close to 2 million in the first year, maybe more, but we'll just have to wait and see.
Why Williamstown? This side.
Why Williamstown? Williamstown because in a number of reasons. First of all, the Creation Museum was built in northern Kentucky because we were within a one-day drive of two-thirds of America's population and very close to the second busiest north-south interstate in America, Interstate 75. When we searched for land for the Ark Encounter, we looked at Indiana, Ohio, Kentucky. We actually had one county in Indiana really caught us to come there because they realized the phenomenal economic impact this would have. In fact, the consultants that conducted an economic impact study predict that over 10 years at minimum attendance here at the Ark Encounter, we believe it will be much more, minimum attendance, it will have an economic impact on the state of Kentucky of $4 billion and create up to 20,000 jobs. And that is going to be incredible for the state. Well, you know what? I should say for the Commonwealth of Kentucky. To get the correct terminology. But when we research for the land, because the Commonwealth of Kentucky, because the state of Kentucky had a tax incentive program for any tourist facility that came in here, that's one of the reasons that we decided on this piece of property, and it's right on Interchange 75, and it's within a one-day drive of two-thirds of America's population. How likely do we think it will be that non-Christians will visit the Ark? It's interesting because even the research indicates a large percentage, maybe 40% or more, will be non-Christians. People from all over the world have heard of Noah's Ark. There are flood legends and cultures all over the world. Even just some of the accounts I've heard from people saying that they've never been able to get their non-Christian friends to church, but they want to go to the Ark. They want to see the Ark. I believe you're going to find all sorts of people from all walks of life with all sorts of religious backgrounds who are going to come here. And even if they don't share our biblical view, they can't help but be impressed by the structure, by the craftsmanship, by the attention to detail in the world-class exhibits inside. And who knows, maybe they'll be challenged to even talk about the Bible as we do.
Question right here. We heard in the video about what was the total investment here and where the investors come from.
Okay, so the cost of this facility has been just over $100 million. And let me say this for all the media. Not 1 cent has come from taxpayer money other than... other than those taxpayers who have donated to this project.
Right.
And so it was funded by a bond offering. Our supporters actually are the ones that contributed to the bond offering of $62 million. And contrary to what you may have read in some of the media reports, Answers in Genesis or the Ark Encounter is totally liable for the bond offering, which is collateralized against mortgage on the property and future revenues and so on. And the other $38 million came from donors to Answers in Genesis. So totally 100% privately funded.
have been approved by the state and have been passed in front of a federal judge who gave the thumbs up as well. But what do you say to non-Christian residents of the Commonwealth of Kentucky that you are getting some tax breaks down the road and that there is going to be money spent, it looks like, for a new interchange on I-75?
Well, first of all, I pay taxes and I pay registration in my car, and I do hope that the state and the federal government will make sure the roads are safe and constructed for the traffic that's needed anywhere. I would think that they would want to see this sort of help economically. Secondly, we're actually not getting tax breaks. We have to generate the money for that. We generate it here. It's a tax rebate based on the sales tax paid within this facility that we get back as a rebate over 10 years to a certain maximum as determined by the amount of capital that you spend. And people say, well, you're a religious organization, you're a Christian organization, then you're getting support from the government. What is the difference between that and a 501c3 organization or any church where people give tax-deductible donations? The church is getting money that would have gone to the government. What's the difference? In fact, if you want to say that, every atheist group that's a 501c3 is being supported by the government, including the Americans United for Separation of Church and State and the Freedom from Religion Foundation, that are 501c3 organizations. They're getting support from the government because people giving those donations are getting a tax deduction, and that money would have gone to the government. So you see, people single this out, I believe, because it's a group of secularists that single this out and create all sorts of misconceptions and misinformation, because this is so major. It is going to have a major impact because we are Christian and we're going to get the Christian message out, and that's what it's all about. It's prejudice against the Christian message. The significance of July 7th. Wow. That's when we open to the public. But in Genesis chapter 7, verse 7, it states, "Then Noah, with his sons and his wife and his sons' wives, entered the ark because of the waters of the flood." So Noah and his family entered the ark. Tells us that in Genesis 7:7. And 7 is a special number to God too. It's God's perfect number. And we decided, if Genesis 7:7 tells us Noah and his family entered the ark, let's let the public enter the ark on the 7th of the 7th. 2016.
Hey, let me ask you this. If it floods again, will it float?
Okay, I've had many people ask me, and many people in the media ask me, will it float? And my answer is this: read the Bible. Because after the flood, God said that there was a covenant between him and man and the animals, as sealed by the rainbow, that there would never be another flood like that one. So will the ark float? No, we didn't build it to float, because there's never going to be another global flood. But we did build it as a reminder to people that the flood really happened and that God's word really is true. But let me say this. It was designed as a ship, but built as a building. Designed as a ship, a true timber frame structure, a lot of research on ancient ships to design it, and then built as a building to code. It's interesting. One of the most hard questions I've been asked for the past few weeks is, will it be handicapped accessible? And I'm thinking, everything today has to be ADA compliant. Why would they keep asking that? And then I realize they think we're building this ship, which is true. And so I think people got this idea, it's Noah's Ark, we'll have to climb up ladders to get onto different places. So it was designed as a ship and built as a building so millions of people can go through it.
Last fall, when we took a tour, we asked you about who you were going to hire. That was one of the controversial things. You felt that you had the choice to only hire people who were not Christians. In your video earlier, we heard you talk about a contractor who converted during the project of building the ark. Have you hired non-Christians to work at this park, and will you?
Okay, first of all, as far as the contractors were concerned, I mean, some people think have this idea that even contractors had to sign a statement of faith or something. That is not true. There are hundreds of contractors that have worked on this, and I have no idea what their religious beliefs are. Secondly, in Answers in Genesis, we are a Christian organization. We have a Christian ministry. We pray together. We want people to be able to pray with others if they want to and need to. We have a Christian message that we're to give to the world. And by law, as the judge ruled, the federal judge ruled, Title VII of the 1964 Civil Rights Act, if you're a religious organization, you can have religious preference in hiring. It makes sense. I mean, I can't think of Planned Parenthood employing someone like me in there. Or I can't think of the American Atheists wanting to employ me as the head of the American Atheists. I'm sure they wouldn't do that. I'm sure Barry Lynn wouldn't want me in the American separation of church and state when I don't have the same views as him. I mean, everybody actually is involved in preference in hiring when you think about it. We are a Christian ministry. And here's the thing about that. Yes, people who work at the Ark Encounter, who are on staff, have to sign a statement of faith because we're Christians and we're hiring Christians. The thing that is amusing to me is I see these secularists who don't want us here. They say we shouldn't be building the Ark. They're going to be protesting outside here on Thursday because they say we shouldn't be building it. And then they're all upset because we're employing Christians. Well, on one hand, they don't want us here, so they don't want us to employ anybody. On the other hand, when we employ people, they're upset because we shouldn't... That they're not going to work for an organization like this. Why are they so upset? And besides which, here's the point many people need to understand. This is going to create jobs outside of the Ark. In fact, thousands and thousands of more jobs will be created outside of the Ark than are inside the Ark. So in other words, people who are against us because we're a Christian organization, hiring 300 to 400 people, don't want a facility to create 20,000 jobs over 10 years.
Your comment about using your story about the contractor, would it make sense to maybe open minds and maybe somebody would be moved by what they see here on the job?
Well, you have to understand something. We are not employing staff to witness to them. We're employing staff to be a part of a ministry to witness to millions of people.
How much debt actually remains and how important are those tax incentives for retiring that debt? And could you have done it without the incentive?
Could we have built this without the tax incentive? Yep.
That's right.
I can see it right there. Okay, so here's what big people don't understand. The bond offering document, I mean, the debt, if you like, is the bond offering. And that's $62 million is the bond offering. But when we did up the bond offering document, no mention was made of the tax incentive because we can't use that as a basis for paying off the bond offering. It was totally put together on the basis of a minimal attendance and all the projections on the basis of that and the economic forecasts and against the mortgage on the property and future revenues, and it'll pay for itself. We believe that very, very minimal attendances, it'll pay for itself, which it will. And so the tax incentive had zero to do with working out the finances for this. So what's that? We don't need them. You could say that. You could say that to the Speedway too, and the Bourbon Distillery Museum. You could also say it to Kentucky Kingdom and all the other places as well.
Aliento Visión de Nueva York. La pregunta es para todo el pueblo hispano y ya me van a traducir. Si hay cientos y miles de especies, ¿cómo fue esa investigación tan asombrosa para saber cuáles fueron los animales que pudieron entrar en esta hermosa arca?
Well, I know enchilada and
The question is, and he's from Alindo Vision in Brooklyn, New York. The question is that if you had so many hundreds of thousands of species of animals, how could you fit them on the ark?
Ah, you need to go through the ark. It's a good question, because that's why we built the ark, so that we could answer questions like that. So you need to go and see the exhibit, and you'll get the answer. It's very simple. The Bible doesn't talk about species. Species is an arbitrary term that man has invented. In man's classification system, kingdom, phylum, class, order, family, genus, species, our researchers have very carefully looked at all the different types of land animals, and we've looked at the documentation of which one breeds with which to determine the actual kinds and genetically the limits of a kind. And we would say in most instances, the kind in the Bible, it's a Hebrew word mean used in Genesis, sometimes translated sort, sometimes translated kind, that it would be more equivalent to the family level of classification. So if you take dogs, for instance, you got different genera of dogs and different species of dogs, but you only needed two dogs. It's very easy to show using genetics how you can get all these different species. Speciation is not evolution, because dogs actually always remain dogs. It's one of the things we've observed. And cats always remain cats. We've observed that too. Oh, by the way, elephants always remain elephants. And it goes on. And so we actually have exhibits here that'll explain to people how many actual kinds no one needed. We actually way overestimate, just for the sake of argument, and you can still fit the number of kinds. We would say probably 1,400 kinds at the most, but probably less than that. And so there was tons of room for two of each kind, seven of some. Most land animals aren't really that big when it comes down to it either. There's room for the big ones anyway. So, see, people haven't been given these answers. They haven't been taught genetics correctly, haven't been taught about speciation and natural selection correctly. We're going to correct that in here and undo the brainwashing that's occurred through... We actually have two scientists on our staff, Dr. Nathaniel Jensen, who has a PhD from Harvard University in cell and developmental biology, and also Dr. Georgia Purdom has a PhD in molecular genetics from Ohio State University, as well as, you know, all the other scientists we have, Dr. Andrew Snelling, PhD in geology. We have PhD scientists on our staff. You know the sad thing? A lot of times when the media come to Answers in Genesis, they don't want to talk to our scientists. And I encourage you, when you come to Answers in Genesis, talk to our PhD yes. scientists. You might not understand what they're saying, but talk to them.
Yeah, my name is Damon Hall, and I'm actually an intern at Grant County News. So my question was going back to the employment process. Is it true that future employers or prospective employers have to sign a statement saying they do not agree with same-sex marriage?
Future employers?
Prospective employers. Those.
No, you mean employees.
Employees, sorry, yes. Employees.
Okay. As Christians, for the Ark Encounter and for Answers in Genesis, the Ark Encounter, we have a very basic statement of faith similar to a church in the area, for instance, to what I call a Bible-believing church. And as Christians, we have certain beliefs. And one of the beliefs is, just as Jesus said in Matthew 19 when he was asked about marriage, he quoted from Genesis, "Have you not read, he made them at the beginning male and female?" So we believe in male and female. And he quoted that. And then he said, "Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave unto his wife, and they'll be one flesh." Quoting from Genesis, because after God made Adam, he then made woman from his side, and then Adam said, "She's bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave unto his wife, and they'll be one flesh." Jesus, who's the Son of God, who's the truth, who's the Word, quotes from Genesis, male and female, one flesh, to give the foundation of marriage, one man and one woman. So I take what Jesus said, and that's what we do at Ark Encounter, one man, one woman.
Stop here in about 3 minutes. We have time for one more question right here.
Can I just add to that? People have the idea that if you believe marriage is a man and a woman, that you're anti people who are gay. We're not anti them. We love. I want to invite them all to come to the Ark. We're not anti them at all. We don't agree with their belief, but I'm against people who want to impose their beliefs on the culture and try to make me say that I have to agree with them. I can disagree with them, but still love them.
Randy Brown from BibleBuyingGuide.com. First of all, Mr. Hamm, thank you for building this, and thank you for this event today. My question is, what do you say to those who scoff at dinosaurs on the ark?
I love technology. When it works. Okay, so what would I say to people who scoff at dinosaurs being on the ark? Now, people have so many misconceptions about dinosaurs. You know, Bill Nye scoffs at me for believing dinosaurs are on the ark. But you know, the word dinosaur wasn't even invented until 1841. And it's a word that was invented to encompass a particular group of land animals. The Bible says God made all the land animals on day six beside Adam and Eve, all the kinds. So he made each kind. And each kind of land animal was represented on Noah's Ark. So what we today call dinosaurs were represented on the Ark. You see, I would say to people like Bill Nye, do you know why you mock at that? Because you believe dinosaurs grew feathers and became birds.
Right.
In fact, even at, I'm not trying to denigrate them, but it is true, at the local Cincinnati Zoo, when you walk into their bird exhibit, mm-hmm. they say dinosaurs aren't extinct. They're flying around in here. And you walk in there and see little birds flying around. Wow, look at little dinosaurs. I don't believe dinosaurs evolved into birds.
Amen.
And not only that, here's the interesting thing. According to evolutionists, crocodiles, mm-hmm. the horseshoe crab, mm-hmm. the chambered nautilus, all existed millions of years before dinosaurs, supposedly, lived with dinosaurs, and they all live today, and that's not a problem. But because we believe dinosaurs lived alongside of people, that's a problem. It's because it doesn't fit with the evolutionary paradigm that dinosaurs supposedly evolved from birds and became extinct. That's what it comes down to beliefs. It's a clash of worldviews. That's what it's all about.
Again, and again, I want to thank the Working Press for being with us here. Remind you that the scientists and experts Kent mentioned are available for interviews throughout the afternoon. Please sign up at the media tent for a slot, whomever you want to interview. Pick up a press kit on your way out by dropping off your media badge, and get a digital press kit on a thumb drive if you haven't done so already. Yes, sir.
Sorry to interrupt, Larry. Did I tell you you need to talk to our scientists?
Yes.
I really want to see the media talk to our scientists. Dr. Andrew Snelling, Dr. Nathaniel Jensen, Dr. Georgia Purdom. Who else we got here? Anyway, they're the three people.
Can I get a picture of you three?
That we have here right now. Please talk to them. I want you to hear a scientist be able to really give you the detailed information.
Thank you.
Let's give a hand for Kenny Hamm. I also want to introduce my colleague, Mark, who is Communications Director. He can answer any of your questions as well. And if you, I just ask the media to turn around about face across between the stage and the chairs. The media riser for cameras and videographers in the back, reporting journalists along the side. And the action is now going to change in a few minutes to the stage. For those of you, our special guests, the advantage point to see. And we'll be starting that momentarily. Thank you again.
Sorry, you're fine.
Hi, Georgia. Nice to meet you.
Trying to stand as still as possible.
Did I sound stupid?
No.